Hey, how are you, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Coming at you 5 days. No woo?
No woo.
All right. Wow.
I was saving it.
Whoa. We're coming at you 5 days a week. From this side, very enthusiastically. I don't know what's going on with Positive Chuck over there.
No, I'm excited. We got the 4-game win streak going.
But we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We got a couple of recaps for you in case you missed them. The Clippers put on a dominating performance over the Denver Nuggets.
Yes.
Here in Los Angeles.
That was fun.
So that's going to be a fun one to recap. Sometimes
the 76ers game was fun because we won.
I was just going to say, I don't always get bored in blowouts if they're against good teams.
Yeah. That Knicks blowout, like, this year was rough because it was a bad team.
Yeah, totally.
But the Nuggets blowout's nice because you're watching them beat a good team.
And then as Chuck alluded to, we're going to be recapping that win over the 76ers.
It's a wild win.
Closer for comfort than we thought.
It was an insane game.
A lot of anomalies.
It was an insane game.
Very strange game to look at. And then, coming back, because we got some fresh guys to talk about.
Dude.
It's the freshies. We talk about who and what is fresh. And today, we're talking Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson. I'm so excited for both of these, but like Reggie, these past couple of games has been incredible to me.
Yeah.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah. So on Friday night, the Clippers absolutely took care of business.
Stomped them
against the Nuggets. This one felt good.
Yeah.
This was, you know, we blew out the number two seed in the West.
Yeah.
Handedly, early.
They said uncle pretty quickly.
They threw so. I didn't really. I think
no mas.
Yes, very much a no mas situation. You and I earlier in, like before the season started, talked about how the Nuggets were kind of going to be good during the regular season and not going to be very good in the playoffs.
I mean, I feel like my entire platform last year was I was like, the Nuggets aren't real. And they did end up getting deeper in the playoffs than I thought. But still,
this game was.
I think
like,
this game exposed once again, which I haven't been on my soapbox about as much this year. But it does really make you question how serious this team is,
in terms of being a real contender, and it's not real at all. So let's just start with what we didn't like.
Yeah,
not a whole lot. There was not a whole lot to dislike in this game. From the minute this game started, the Clippers were. Jokic had to do a bunch. Like, Jokic killed us in this game. Jokic and Grant got us.
Yeah, definitely. So, I guess I want to start there. I want to touch on that.
Because there's a bunch to like, so we got to get this out of the way.
Yeah, so the Jeremy Grant thing is a little irksome to me. And not because he's not a good NBA player.
Irksome.
Not because he's not worthy of, like, putting up 20 or anything like that.
He did put up 20 on us.
The thing that hurts me about it is that, like, we gave him half his points in free throw attempts. He was overall pretty inefficient from the floor. He shot 5 of 15, 33%. But he got 20 points because I do feel
we
like
gave him those, some of those points.
There were some lapses.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess, you know, once again, this was a great game.
Lot
to like.
But, yeah.
But if we're talking about things we didn't like,
yeah.
I didn't like that we were giving Jeremy Grant the superstar treatment in a way that maybe didn't necessarily warrant it.
That's fair. Because Jokic, I mean, Jokic got some superstar calls in this game. He put up 21-9, but we only held him to 2 assists, which I feel like is a triumph in and of itself.
Yeah.
But he still got us on the points. Will Barton had a good game. No one else did, though.
I mean,
Marcus Morris had a rough shooting night. He went 2 of 10.
Yeah. Jamal Murray was okay.
Jamal Murray was okay. But he had 2 steals and 4 boards, so he contributed. Bev didn't score any points,
mm-hmm.
but was plus 13. So, like, that, even the things that weren't, like, the Jeremy Grant thing sucks. Jermichael had a bunch of random fouls right in a row.
He had 3 fouls in the third quarter. Which
in like
was,
a 3.5 minute span, it felt like.
It was, yeah. I mean.
But other than those, like, very trivial things, because the Nuggets also kind of seemed like they were just like, you guys got it. Like, they stopped seemingly trying.
You caught us slipping.
We caught them slipping for sure. So what did we like in this game? And it was everything.
Yeah, so I want to go back to the Bev thing just to kick this thing off. Just
for sure.
A smooth little transition.
Because it's, yeah, you know. It's just the points, really, that was the bad issue. But he only took one shot.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the points weren't there, but I don't know what you expect on one field goal attempt. He did everything else.
Yeah, everything else was completely taken care of.
And it was like the classic Pat Bev game where he's still plus 13 in the plus minus. And it was interesting because it's just the effect that it has on everybody else. Paul George talked about it. He's like, seeing a player like that who really does not care about stats, like truly. Because people say they don't care about stats, but like to truly
Bev does not care.
Not care about stats.
And that's
going
to, that also carry over to the 76ers game, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and want to affect winning in that way. It's contagious. So
for sure.
Just got to give a huge shout out to Pat, because I feel like that's something that if you didn't watch this game, looking at the box score, you might be like,
Well, when we got to the game, the vibe at the game felt like a bit of a 12:30 game. It was a DTLAC night. We got there, and it was a little just
I don't
want
to say lackadaisical.
It was loose. It was lackadaisical.
It was loose.
And like, then the shoot-around was kind of like, all right, like, it's happening, but, like, the crowd wasn't really into it. Like, and then Bev, as he does every single game, came sprinting out.
Yeah.
And immediately was just locked in. Doc
hood
talked
up?
About
did
it.
He was hood up in this
he
one?
Did not have his hood up in okay. this one. Okay. Doc talked about it, though, in the postgame about how, like, even at shoot-arounds, Bev is making sure guys are focused.
Yeah.
And the intensity level in this game was up from the jump. There was no let up on either end. We contested every single shot that they made. You know what I mean? Like, this was, we only had 10 turnovers. We had 35 assists. The team splits in this game.
Yeah.
53, 46, and 90 for the team.
Dang.
46% from three. Like,
dang.
I mean, this was just Paul George, 24 points in 25 minutes on 60% shooting.
Yep. Yeah. He looked really, really confident. I loved the ball movement in this one.
Absolutely.
So the Nuggets came into this one of the teams, like one of the leading teams in steals.
Yeah.
In
you
the
talked
NBA.
About it.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit in the game preview. I worried how that would overall affect the ball movement. And with 35 assists. So,
it was great.
And yeah, it was really free-flowing. It was just another game where just things felt tight.
This game also was kind of... We haven't even talked about him yet. We haven't mentioned his name yet. But Reggie Jackson, this was the game for Clippers fans who, maybe if you weren't familiar with Reggie Jackson,
yeah,
or you didn't really know what Reggie Jackson could do. This was, I will say it, the best version of Reggie Jackson.
I gave him my game ball. We did a little
Oh, yeah,
post.
We did a stream. Thanks for hanging on the stream.
Yeah, anybody who tuned in, we will always try on Friday nights and weekends to do some post-game streams.
Yeah.
Generally on night games. Midday gets a little weird. but go ahead and check that out at Locked On Clippers. But yeah, he had 10, 8, and 7 in 18 minutes. And it's like...
The bench unit looks so good with him on this team.
Yeah, it looks great, and he just, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the freshies, but like, he's unlocking a new gear for Lou Will.
Yeah.
I asked Doc about it in the postgame presser, and he said it's just, you see that Lou Will has a different energy, not having to just even do the physical action of carrying up the ball like as much as he does for how high his usage is.
Yeah.
You know, like, just even taking away that just gives him some more energy, puts a little more pep in his step.
I mean, yeah, you nailed it. We had 7 guys in double figures.
Love it.
Kawhi had 19.
Love it.
Zoo had 10. Lou was 17. Trez with 18. Reggie Jackson, like Reggie said, with 10. One thing I liked in this game was Trez's rebounding. He had 10 boards. 4 of them were offensive. So, like, he did, you know, that was all around. Like, I love I love watching Trez play, obviously, but when Trez is also getting boards.
Yeah.
It really helps out. Like, we're going to talk about how he played a little too much in the 76ers game.
Whoa.
Which was Doc's fault.
I mean, I'm going to disagree with you on this one.
He could have used some rest.
We needed him.
All right, we'll talk about it in the next segment. But no,
we'll talk about this later.
Trez was great. I don't know. This was, it was nice to see us just destroy the team that was ahead of us in the standings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How are you feeling after this game?
I mean, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great. There was there was some chatter that about maybe the quality of this win not being great because the Nuggets gave up. But I say,
absolutely
to that
not.
I say,
we made them give up.
I poo-poo that theory. Jamal Murray had if you're giving up, that's a sign of that we were beating you. You're overwhelmed.
Yeah. Jamal Murray had an 87 offensive rating for this game.
Boo.
Which is bad. No, I felt good after this game. We celebrated at Hank's. That was a good time. We've talked about wanting to kind of carry the momentum over from the other two games and get a streak is three games, and we got it going.
Yeah, that was
which was awesome.
That was a good Chuck call, like being able to have those couple of games to sort of develop the rhythm. Get the reps in.
We got the score wrong on this because we both thought it was going to be a little closer than this, but shout out to Mike Malone for completely giving up.
Way to throw in the towel, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out. Like Will said, thanks for hanging out on the stream. We're going to do those at Locked On Clips on Saturday and Friday games.
We might get wild. We might throw one out there at you on a weekday. Who knows?
Yeah, man, who knows? Coming up after this, we're going to be recapping the Sunday win over the 76ers. One more time. Sunday win over 76ers right after this.
All right, so...
Man, what? This was a great game.
This was a topsy-turvy victory.
The Clippers won 136-130 over the 76ers. This was the Shake Milton game, which I would like to say.
It was the Shake.
I believe I said that this game could be weird.
You were correct.
It was very weird, and it was very weird specifically because a guy named Shake Milton was playing. We have to talk about this right off the top. We have to give credit where it's due. This was unreal to watch.
Yeah.
39 points for Shake Milton on 70% shooting, 7 of 9 from 3.
Yeah. He didn't miss from 3 until...
He missed one... At halftime, he was shooting 90%. He had been 9 of 10, and he hadn't missed a three-pointer.
Yeah.
He set the record for most consecutive three-pointers made because I think he hit 14 in a row from the two games carried over. So he set the... It was absurd to watch. And it was also one of the only reasons that this game was as close as it was.
Yeah.
We can start with what we didn't like, and we have to talk. I mean, the opening of this game was crazy. Tobias went off early.
Mm-hmm. Typical Tobias fashion.
And then what happened?
Disappeared.
13 points in the first quarter, I believe. Ended with 25 for the game.
Yeah.
We were talking with TPJ from Hoops and Brews. Shout out Hoops and Brews. He said the same thing. He was like, yeah, it's going to be... Miriam Swanson said the same thing. Big first quarter, which is absolutely what happened. Mm-hmm. It was kind of funny to see it from the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
definitely.
They were without Embiid and Simmons, but this game was... like, they were hitting so many contested shots early.
Yeah, the overall shooting in this one was absurd. Both teams shot nearly 50% from three. The Sixers ended on about 49% from three, and the Clippers shot 54% from three.
Oof.
Both teams above 50% in overall field goal percentage. Like,
not a game for the defensive-minded basketball fan.
No.
Like, right from the jump.
No, and Doc said that. He said that, like, you know, you don't want to win. You don't want to get in the habit of winning games this way.
For sure.
But it is a testament, like, staying game against a team shooting that well.
We absolutely bounced back in this one. The end got really close.
Yeah, definitely.
So they stayed in this game early because Shake Milton and because Tobias, it was just an onslaught right from the gate. And then at the end, Horford fouled out.
Yes.
Which I tweeted out from the clips, from the lockdown clips thing. I was like, wow, Horford just fouled out. That seems like it's the death wish for the 76ers in this one. And then right as I sent it, Shake Milton hit 2 threes to pull it within 4 points.
So,
and I was like, oh, I forgot that Shake Milton's in this game because he was quiet for a bit.
Yeah. Can we segue for just one quick second on Al Horford?
Yeah.
It's just...
he's being wasted in Philadelphia.
I gotta say, like, it's either the fit or the coaching, but like
it's the coaching.
They're doing something wrong because through the first half of the game, he was scoreless. He already had 3 fouls. It seemed like he would be on the bench for a little while, and then he had a crazy third. I think that he scored 10 of his 12 points in the third, and then ended up fouling out. Like, I don't know, man. I haven't seen a player be like such a not ever, but like he was a, you know, without an injury, a player being a pivotal piece.
He fell off.
A playoff team to like having such a steep playoff. And at that, you know, like I feel like I'm sure a lot of people have been down on Horford this year, but like, I don't know what the hell's going on over there.
That's fair. Well, it was this thing too of in this game specifically, Milton and Tobias were going off, so it was like they don't need to get Horford involved.
Yeah,
which definitely was odd.
But anything else you didn't like?
It was really that Doc quote. That's what the game boiled down to. I mean, I really didn't like the defense.
Yeah,
they put up almost 40 in the first quarter. We were down 5.
Yeah, and then we just put the clamps on in the third.
Yeah, so that goes into what we did like. Which we held them scoreless for like a 4-minute stretch.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Doc said the first team that plays defense will win. And we were. We were the only team that played defense for any extended period of time in this game.
Definitely.
It was actually the bench is who played the best defense overall in this game.
Yeah. So I guess
which was awesome.
I guess this was one last thing that I didn't like. Zoo was looking lost out there, man.
Yeah, we got it. We talk. I feel like we praise Zoo quite a bit.
Definitely, definitely.
Zoo is not without criticism.
He was getting sought out in that the first quarter, especially. You know, they were getting guards and stuff on the mismatch, and he was looking really frustrated, and then just kind of overall looking lost out there. He played less than 20 minutes in this one.
Trez came in with 3 minutes left in the third and didn't sit.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those games where I kind of feel like you can't criticize that decision.
We won by 6, so I really can't. And Zoo was looking bad. It's the things when Zoo's looking good, but when Zoo's looking bad, I'm like, we kind of have to do this.
Just an overall, like, what we didn't like or down or note. Does this make you second guess or, like, second think about what Zoo's role will be on this team in a playoff run?
Not at all. It's going to be the same.
Oh,
it might even be less.
I disagree. I think his role is going to shrink.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be less, but that's fine.
All
right. We're gearing up for it right now. So if we weren't prepared for it, I'd guess I'd be more worried. But I don't know.
But you've been screaming. You have more Trez Zoo
needs the rest
tatted across your chest.
Yes. Well, Trez needs the rest for the playoffs is what I want. Mm-hmm. Is it because if this is his role in the regular season, his role in the playoffs is going to be even bigger. So, like, get him some rest now.
Totally.
We know how it goes. So the bench came in, the lead, one of my favorite moments of this game, the bench came in, the lead was 5 to close out the third. There was like 6 minutes left in the third, maybe 5 minutes left in the third.
Mm-hmm.
And our lead was 5. Ended up extending it to 12 points heading to the fourth. So the bench minutes were amazing. Reggie Jackson makes Lou more efficient. He makes everything for the bench look better. I don't want to say they saved the game because the 420 Club did meet.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Second time this year. Only the second time, I'm pretty sure. If we're wrong, please let us know.
Yeah, well, Greif tweeted it, so I believe it.
That's true. WWGD, that's what Greif do.
Quiet 30. Trez, Lou, and Paul George all had 24.
PG shot 62%.
He looked great. We were talking about how it's just like he's got his body back.
Yeah.
Like the control and everything when he's like in the air. There's still some maybe reaching for fouls a little bit. But overall, it doesn't feel like he's forcing anything. It feels much more fluid. I think I said it like a couple games back that I was like eager for a Paul George return to form. And man,
he's here.
It's here.
Feels like he's here. Kawhi has never left.
No.
Kawhi looked great. Lou did fourth quarter offensive things, which were absolutely needed.
Mm-hmm.
Went on a little mini run himself. And then Trez also added 9 boards and was 10 of 13 from the line.
He was great. So we were in the 112 section, which is like the middle, lower bowl.
Only one of us was supposed to be there. Must be nice. Gets to take vacation, gets special treatment when he comes back. I'm up there in the crow's nest.
But there were some very loud Sixers fans, and Montrezl Harrell was definitely the subject of their ire.
Yeah, he acknowledged him.
He acknowledged them, and I think he was like eager to shut down.
He gave him a shush.
Yeah, it was nice to see. I think sometimes we kind of focus on maybe things getting to Trez like in a negative way.
Yeah,
and it kind of affects his game negatively
because of the runs. What?
So it's really nice to see him, like, you know, lock in and channel.
This
that
is the perfect Trez game, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Like, this is a phenomenal, like, he's efficient from the line.
Yeah.
He grabbed
nine boards, 24 points.
Like,
added a steal and a block.
He was affecting things. This was good.
Yeah.
Bev had a huge impact, again, without scoring. Mm-hmm. Which you kind of brought this up before we started recording.
Do you worry that, you know, Patrick Beverley through two games is 0 for 4? Because my thing is, like, 0 for 4 is nothing to me.
Yeah.
But, like, just the attempts are so low.
For sure.
But I got to say no.
We scored 276 points.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess it would have been cool to score 280. You know? Like,
totally.
Seems
like just yesterday, though, we were talking about, like, how do people not know that Patrick Beverley
Yeah, and then he was like,
threat.
I'm going to, he's going to let him go back to sleep. He's let him keep sleeping on him. So I feel like we can do a how we feeling for these. Let's do it for these last two games combined. Because
we already did one for the last game.
But I mean, just like after also, you know what I mean? Like, how'd you feel after this victory? All things considered, we thought this was going to be a much tougher stretch than it was. I mean, the Shake Milton situation made it a lot harder for this game.
Yeah.
I will say this game should have been, without Shake Milton, this game is just like the Denver game. Like, without Shake Milton's literally best game of his life, this is just like the Denver game.
Yeah, definitely.
So I feel absolutely jacked. We face the Thunder, which is tough, coming up on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, this is the most consistent we've seen the team play all year.
Yeah. I feel inspired. Anybody?
Oh, my God. If the audio cuts out, it's because my apartment burned down because I set it on fire.
No, I feel great.
I feel good. Eked out the win. Like, it was only a six-point win, but it was, like, the most... Like, I was tense when it was close, but it was weirdly a comfortable six-point win.
Yeah, but it also wasn't...
had a bit of a celebratory mezcal, so...
It also wasn't the type of win where we're playing a team that's down two stars where I feel like it's us letting them into the game the whole time.
It got weird as hell from the jump.
Yeah.
Like, it was... They made so many contested jumpers anyway. We got the win.
Got the win.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Got the win. That's
Clippers
what winners
now,
do.
What is it? 41 and...
Dubbers get dubs.
Oh, dude. I don't know about that one.
This is this might be my last podcast. People keep asking.
Dude, Marty, keep asking
if the show is going to be over. Charles might kill
Mardi Gras ruined you, dude. But the Clippers stand at 41 and 19, which, hey, fine by me. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the new guys, Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, and then maybe a bit of shavings if we find something in that drawer. All right.
It's fresh.
Welcome to the Freshies. So it's safe to say that Reggie Jackson.
Do we want to start with Morris? Sorry.
Wow. Let's start with Morris.
I just feel like we might talk about
there's
Reggie
more,
longer.
Yeah, there's more to say, Reggie. Yeah, Morris, it's absurd how much better the starters look with Morris instead of Mo.
Is that absurd?
It's not a knock on Mo. No, I didn't think it'd be this much better.
Really?
Even when he goes 2 of 10, how many shots did he take? So, oh, one thing I didn't like about the game against the Sixers.
Oh, man.
Sham didn't take enough shots. Sham took like...
Two shots.
Sham took two shots. Morris took four shots.
Yeah, Landry only played 15 minutes, though.
Yeah. Landry also has the Adapt Nikes. That's the self-lacing ones. Absurd.
Talk about fresh.
Talk about fresh. Anyway. No, Morris, he impacts the... Like, he impacts the team a lot more. Even when he goes 2 of 10, there were still things where it was like, all right, this kind of sucks, but
so
there's good things that happen.
I've been impressed.
We can still put up 140 when he goes 2 of 10, you know? Like,
yeah, I got to be honest. I've just been really, really impressed with how willing he's been to step into this role where he is taking significantly less shots.
Still getting them up, though.
Still getting him up, but like not anywhere. I mean, like not really near what he was used to getting. You know, which was going to be the case. He was clearly a much bigger option in New York, but I wondered how, you know, like that's got to affect you, you know?
For going sure. It messes your rhythm up.
Yeah, yeah.
Going it's like Doc not getting lunch, you know? It's that 12:30 game thing.
And going from one to the other. But, I mean, the field goal percentage, like, with the – like, it's been there except for the Denver game and the Sacramento game. You know, he's still been remarkably efficient. But I guess just the thing that's impressed me the most is just, like, how much he's bought in.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
I read this crazy stat. It might have been from the Yahoo NBA account, so for all I know, it could just be completely wrong because that account's garbage. But Kawhi...
Shout out Yahoo.
Kawhi is double-teamed 50% of the time he's the primary ball handler.
Yeah, so...
So Morris being here... Because Mo didn't get the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't a thing. But Morris is getting the shots because he's a threat. So, it like, that stat, Morris helps that stat. That makes me comfortable with that stat so much more.
Totally. There's still...
Because, like Doc said, even if you sag... So, okay, you're going to sag off Morris. That leaves Bev open. So, like, it's just this thing of, like, it. The gravity is fantastic.
Yeah, so I guess there's still this thing
for the starters.
Kawhi can't pass, or, like, that's his biggest deficiency.
I don't know.
And I think
no one watches the Clippers who's on national media.
I'm talking about the scouts from other teams, doubling Kawhi. But I think as you increase the quality of the options around him, I just that becomes less and less of a viable game plan.
Of course, yeah.
I don't know. I'm just impressed with what I've seen out there from Morris, and it isn't just. I kind of thought that we might use him in a little bit of, like, you know, the stand and shoot role, and then he would sometimes, you know, get a wild hair and go, like, go for some you know, crazy mid-range jumpers, highly contested. But, you know, what I've seen, just him getting his hands on the ball in terms of, like, deflections, he's gotten a couple steals. I've just been really impressed all around.
100%. And that's just for the starters, to make the starting unit look better. And so we got to talk about Reggie, who's been even better in terms of impact than Marcus Morris. That's not a knock on Marcus Morris at all, but Reggie has been like a slap in the face with how good he's been these last games. And I will say, it might be a bit of a honeymoon phase.
I'm going to say, yeah, we, I mean,
we saw the best version of him against
the
Nuggets.
That accounts keep being like, this will never carry for Reggie. And my thing
is, it might not.
My thing is, yeah, I don't care. That's a problem for next month, Will.
That's future Will's problem. That's hella funny. We've seen the best, like, he's been phenomenal these last, every game that he's played, pretty much. He had to start in that Kings game, which was difficult. He should have had more assists in that first
start. That was never going to make sense.
Yeah, that's a tough start.
That was never, your first game with a new team and you're the starting point guard? That's absurd. That's an absurd ask.
He helps Bev's minutes, which is huge. Bev said it in the post-game interview where he was like, I don't have to play 33, 40 minutes or something like that. Like,
well, which has been great because the real reason he's been added was because of the Bev injuries this season.
Doc put him in with a minute 19 left to close this game out against the 76ers.
And I loved it.
Everyone loved it.
I loved it. So you talked a little bit about the defense.
We were supposed to be worried about it.
Formidable. But to the eye test, like the last couple of games, I mean, it's looked pretty good.
It's looked better than I expected because I was supposed to be like, I think Dominic Coles and I were talking about on Twitter. Like, we were supposed to be worried about it.
Maybe you were never on Twitter.
What is Twitter? Because we were supposed to be worried about it. But yeah, like, the eye test has been good. And, like,
I love the way he fights around screens.
Yeah.
Like,
but he's buying in like Morris.
It's just one of those things. Like, I love the way that he fights around a screen, whether going over or under. Like, he's just going as hard as he can, and I just love to see it.
The second thing is, and you put this note in here,
he's unlocking a new gear for Lou Will.
Dude, Lou Will has to somehow do less but produce more.
Yeah. I mean,
it's perfect.
Doc pointed out, I asked him a little bit about what the effect is on Lou Will having Reggie, especially just fitting as well as he has these past couple of games. And he said, you know, you see that Lou Will, he has more energy.
Yeah.
And it's clearly carried over into his efficiency. in terms of shooting. And, you know, he's looked more efficient. He hasn't had a game that's where he's dipped below 43% field goal percentage since Reggie has been on the team, which I mean, you know, will that carry up forever? Probably not.
Probably not. But it's
just having fresh legs, I mean, makes sense. Like, the shot's going to be there a little bit more, especially just given the type of shots that Lou Will takes. I mean, they're high effort shots, a lot of them.
Yeah, for sure.
But we've been seeing more and more him getting open looks from three just because there's another ball handler, which I think is huge. And weirdly, it doesn't even seem to be affecting Lou Will's passing that much.
That's the best part, I think.
Looking at his assist numbers since Reggie's been on the team, there's a low one in that he only had two assists in that start that Reggie got against the Kings in that loss. But since then, he had 6, 4, which was an outlier against Phoenix, and then 7 and 8. So of these 5 games, 3 of them he's had above his season average for assists.
That's a good stat pool.
Yeah, thanks. Wow. I'm blushing.
Come off vacation. Yeah. No, that's... I think it adds an intangible thing to Paul George, too.
The buddy effect.
The buddy effect. It's the buddy system.
Hey, man, they laid off me. You're doing zero work at work.
Justin Russo put this stat out there. Paul George is 17 of 28 overall and 10 of 16 from 3 over the last 2 games. Obviously, he's getting healthy. That's fantastic, too. I think George is more of a vibe player than people maybe think. And that's not a bad thing at all.
No, I don't think... I think so much of Paul George's game is...
Because Patterson is his buddy.
It's a rhythm thing.
Patterson is his buddy.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson, it's good. Like,
there's an aura, if you will.
Absolutely. Anything else in the shavings drawer?
I don't think so. I feel like this was pretty comprehensive.
Yeah. Great weekend for Clippers fans.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
100%. I wish, you know, we didn't have a whole week to wait before another home game.
Oh,
but
I know. You're telling me.
Got a couple of tough games coming up.
Got some big ones coming up.
Road game on OKC. Road game at Houston.
On Tuesday's episode, we're going to be doing Twitter Tuesday.
That's right.
So send your questions in at Will Updike.
At Charles Mockler. At Locked on Clips.
At Locked on Clips. We're going to have a preview of the Clippers at Thunders game. That's going to be a big one. Hopefully the streak can keep going. We're at 4 in a row right now.
I love it.
And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, thank you so much for hanging out with Locked on Clips. We're bringing it to you 5 days a week. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Casts, Google Pods, Bloom Pods,
Bezos Pods.
Bezos Pods. God, I wish I was getting Bezos money.
R.I.P. Buttigieg's Pod.
Oh, wow. Okay.
also, if you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review. It means the world to us.
Follow us on Twitter if you like to see GIFs of Maradona giving the double bird to thousands of people.
Heavy rotation
right now. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.